said.
Don't believe what I just saw!
I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral. Okay.
We are back. This is Sportsaholics episode number 101. There's no number for that.
101? We've done this over 100 times?
We've done this well over 100 times because I'm sure we lost a couple episodes. We did that little pilot episode that one, you know.
And, yeah, we did. Yep.
And then, yeah, it's been great. And so I couldn't track down any. I don't know, cross country I think is the only sport that has three digits, I think. I can't think of any other ones. But yeah, just like that. And really, if you go back and date it, it's been 5 years. So if you average it out, that's about one episode every 2 weeks. And that's with a lot of downtime, too. We had those lean West Texas, North Dakota years.
Yes, you were traveling around playing some interleague, playing some minor league baseball. Those were some lean years that they were. But here we are, over 100 episodes. We can go into syndication. Congratulations, Jeez. Happy anniversary.
Hey, man, it's good to be back. And for you listeners, apologize for that. We had to take a month off. One, Eric's been traveling. I mean, God forbid a guy gets to go on the road and open up for Leslie Jones, one of the biggest stars on Saturday Night Live. Get off his back, okay? He's busy.
Yep. Sorry, guys. I had to be in Denver, and it was a massive. Took me 2 days to get to Denver. I had one ticket straight from LAX to Denver. It took me 2 days, and I got 7 boarding passes. I went to San Francisco twice. It was a crazy, crazy trip.
Whoa!
Never mind everything that happened once I got there.
Wait, just break that down in like a minute, if you could. The 7 flights, you go to San Francisco twice, all?
I had 7 boarding passes. No, I was actually booked. Now, remember this. I actually was booked for more flights. More flights got canceled. What happened is there was an epic, I rolled in, you know, the roast battle happens every Tuesday night. So I performed at the roast battle, and I was drinking and partying and having sex and making the girl I have sex with buy me the Uber to get me to the airport. I'm rolling to the airport like a rock star at 5 a.m. The girl I just fucked, she just paid for the Uber. Everything's great. I'm going to sleep on the plane. Wait, what a minute. Something's wrong at the Denver airport. I got to get, they delayed my flight till 5 in the afternoon. I have to be there to do a gig at Colorado State that night. So the guy says, hey, I'll fly. We'll get you on this other flight. You go to San Francisco. We'll get you there by 2:30 in the afternoon. I fly to San Francisco, first class, by the way. Thank you, United. But when I get there, there is a blizzard, a massive blizzard in Denver that has closed everything down. And by the time I get to the customer service, I think, okay, well, I'll have to spend the night in San Francisco Airport or a hotel nearby. But they're telling me, well, we'll be able to fly you out sometime Saturday. I'm like, Saturday? How about you fly me back to Los Angeles where there is no snow and I'll sleep in my own bed tonight? I fly back to L.A. So I spent 12 hours basically just doing, I basically ate at the airport in San Francisco and flew back. And then the next day, I had to fly standby, and once again, they got me on a flight to San Francisco. And I did actually make it about 2:30 in the afternoon. But that was, again, it's like, it was 2 days. I went to San Francisco twice. Seven boarding passes for what? It was a direct flight to Denver. It took me 2 days and 7 boarding passes. Yep. Absolutely, that all happened.
That sounds horrible. And then for as a comic who's gotten in my car and logged thousands of miles, I'm thinking like you could have drove to Denver and back in that same amount of time in a car. Yeah.
Oh, there was a point where I was getting back onto the on Wednesday. I was in San Francisco boarding a plane to go back to Los Angeles for the night and to land about 5:30, 6 in the afternoon. I was suddenly looking at am I going to get home and drive? I was exhausted. I wasn't going to do that. I started looking at Greyhound and trains to Denver and all kinds of things. And then there was a certain point where it was like, you know, I was supposed to go do six shows in Colorado, and it was supposed to be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And, you know, at one point, I was only going to get like two of the six shows in, just the Saturday shows, which was a crazy thing. But it all worked out. The Colorado State, go Rams, they were nice enough to reschedule. We did a nighttime show at 3 in the afternoon in front of it was daylight out, and we were in a room that had massive windows with the Rocky Mountains. It was like a Coors Light commercial was behind us. And there was a 12-year-old boy with his parents in the crowd. So, you know, we said a lot of bad words and apologized in advance for all the terrible, terrible, terrible things we said in front of that family. But they did it really well, and they were a great crowd. So I think they learned a lot.
Well, and then also, those of you in New Jersey, guess what? Atlantic City, here comes Eric Marino again. So it's you're getting.
Yeah, I think it's April. I want to say April 30th. It could be the 29th, but Atlantic City, and watch this space. We'll be sending out more information. I'll tell you where I am.
Perfect. And while we're on plugs, go to johnishere.com. I'm going to be up in Washington next week doing gigs in Eastern Washington, I think on Thursday and Friday night, and then on the western side of Washington, southwest in this town, this country club called Chehalis. It's a really cool gig. I did it about 2 years ago, and so that'll be on a Saturday night. So if you're in Washington, the state of this weekend, come check that out. And then I'll be in the Midwest in mid-May, and those dates are on johnishere.com again. But Lincoln, Nebraska, Topeka, Kansas City, and Springfield, Missouri, those towns I will be gracing your stages. So please come out, or if you know anyone in those cities, or if you know one in Atlantic City, let them know we're coming. Just, you know, we get on stage, we tell jokes, and it's quite funny. If I say so myself, I've been told that by other people. So yeah, you know, you listen to the show, so come say see us live, and then say, hey, by the way, when I'm stuck in traffic, I listen to your show in 4 to 5 minute increments until I get annoyed and listen to something else.
Thank you for listening in any increments at all, everybody.
Yes,
thank you.
Exactly. Well, I went to spring training. I haven't talked to you since I got back. Amazing trip. Drove out there 6 hours out to Phoenix. Guys, gals at home, go next year. Whether you're the Arizona one, I think's a little bit better because everything, all the teams that are there are all within an hour's drive from the northwest corner of Phoenix to the far east side. And with traffic, you know, it's like an hour, hour and a half sometimes. But everything's right there. Florida, they're a little bit more spaced out. But the ability, I saw three games in 24 hours. So we got there, saw a 1 o'clock Giants-Royals. That night went Rangers-Padres, which was an epic game that ended with bottom of the ninth, two outs, two strikes on the guy for the Rangers. Hits a triple. Guy's on third. Next guy up hits a triple that is a foot away from being a home run. And then the next guy up after that hits a walk-off home run. And there was a Royals fan next to me. And he goes, if that was in the World Series, that would have been the greatest World Series game of all time. And I'm like, yeah, and this game means nothing. That's what spring training is, incredible. $8 to get in.
Yeah, just don't. One of the greatest games that never matters.
Mm-hmm. No, it was great, but it was, I mean, just this, the crowd was going nuts. There's still probably 6,000-7,000 people there, you know, and it's, 10 o'clock at night. And the best part, too, is I end up getting, we're sitting by the bullpen, I'm just minding my business, and I look up, and there's a ball, like, just coming right down at me, so I reach up and grab it. Well, there was all these kids begging for a ball from all the relief pitchers, so he just tossed it over his shoulder, but over-tossed it by 10 feet. So it lands right in my hand, and I turn around, and there are like 20 kids that just like a magnet are all just right up in me, like, give it to, I want it. Can I have it? Let me have it. Just, and I'm like, I don't want to single out. I don't know who to give it to. And there's no like obvious minority kid to give it to. You know, I'm like, God, if there was just a black kid, I'd just hand it to him right now. But there wasn't, you know, and I didn't want to give it to the redheaded kid that looked like a punk. I'm like, I definitely don't want to give it to that kid because he's like a foot taller than everybody. way too big to be in this scrum. So I make the decision. I'm like, I'm just going to lob it. But I throw it too high, and immediately my biggest fear comes to fruition. I'm like, I threw it too high. The punk redheaded kid, he's got a glove. He's 2 feet above everyone. He's going to snag this thing. So, but as he goes airborne, I think what happened is he got kind of caught up in the pile and kind of pushed out of the way a little bit. So the ball somehow hits the ground, and it creates this kind of rugby-esque kind of scrum, you know, and the ball does one of those things where it just shoots out. And all of a sudden, the ball's like rolling on the ground, and two more kids dive on it, and one kid comes up with it, who just happened to be sitting next to where I was sitting. And he comes up. He's like, thanks for the ball. I'm like, I didn't really give it to you. You just kind of outlasted like a Mad Max Thunderdome melee here. And I looked at my wife, and I was like, you know what? I think throwing the ball up in the air was probably the worst thing I probably could have done in that situation. I mean, I'm sure at least three of those kids' knees are bleeding right now. But on the other side of it, that's what you got to do. You want a ball, you got to bleed. I mean, that's why I saw a 45-year-old man at the World Series up in San Francisco. Pre-game home run came off Hosmer's bat, right field. And this guy, just 45, beer in hand, just said, fuck it. Just threw the beer up, dove, ripped his khakis. Like, I mean, but he got the ball. And so you got to fight for it if you want it, but just awesome. I mean, you're right there next to the players. You're watching all the prospects. 5 minutes after the ball incident, we're just sitting there watching the game, and all of a sudden this ball just goes sailing out of the bullpen, like at a really high velocity. So I stand up and look. I was like, what the hell is that? I go and look, and the guys sitting next to the pitcher's mound are all just laughing. And so this guy like tried to throw like a curveball, and it slipped, and then it just went flying into the stands. But from like a blindside angle, I'm like, man, I hope that didn't just nail somebody in the side of the head, because no one would have been looking for it.
Right.
But just stuff like that, and just I got Rusty Kuntz and Terrence Gore, two of my favorite Royals autographs. So that was exciting. I was like, no way, there's Rusty Kuntz and Terrence Gore. Oh, this is the greatest. Met Willie Wilson, got a picture with Willie. That was fantastic. I mean, it was just incredible. And just, you know, like I said, three games in about a 24, 25-hour span, all within, you know, all the stadiums. Some of them are, you know, 3 or 4 miles apart, and the clubs share the complexes. So ultimately, you can, if you schedule it right, you can watch four games in a day, in 2 days, and not have to drive more than 3 miles.
Great.
So highly, highly, highly recommend that. And now I've just got baseball fever more than ever. I've got we booked our flights up to Seattle for the Royals Mariners series at the end of the month. So any Royals fans in Seattle, where do I go? I mean, just hit us up on Twitter. Just tell us, is there a bar? Is there any sort
of... Bring a sweatshirt. It is cold in Safeco Field. It's covered, but not insulated. It is just a shed next to the ocean.
Yep.
It literally is a shed next to the ocean.
Yep. When I was there, it was a day game, sunny, so I appreciate the heads up. I'll have to go ahead and bring either the Royals hoodie.
I was there for opening day 2000. Pedro Martinez for the Red Sox took the win, but it was cold AF. It was cold AF, and I don't mean Abercrombie and Fitch, everybody.
Now, is that where you got that Mojo sticker that's on your front window?
What's that?
Is that where you got that Mojo sticker that's on your front window?
Oh, yeah, Soto. That's where I got that Soto. That is where I got Soto Mojo, yes. Off the dome, yes.
It's weird. You walk to Eric's apartment, and then there's this Sojo Mojo Seattle Mariners sticker on the front of his house, essentially.
Soto Mojo, yeah.
You're like, okay, I better not bring up the Oklahoma City Thunder while I'm in here. No, not just a baseball fan, just a little mark in history that said, hey, I was in Seattle 16 years ago in April.
That's right.
Hell
that's
yeah.
That's right. I loved being there for opening day. I just, you know, I sold an episode of the Hughleys. I was flush with cash. I was like, what have I never done? You know, I was like, hey, let's spend money on opening day tickets. I saw the first 10 games of the Red Sox in 2000. I was like a deadhead for the Red Sox. And let me tell you, because this is what happened. The first three games were up in Seattle. The next three were back here, were down here in Anaheim, which was local to me. And I was heading back for a family wedding. So I said, hey, I'll go a couple days early and I'll see a bunch of games at Fenway. I got tired, man. I got real tired.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to it because the Royals will be in Anaheim that same week earlier. So I'll end up catching, I think, four.
Hey, look, you have to be excited about opening day and the presentation of the rings, and that's all exciting. Opening day for the champs is always a good day.
As a Royals fan and Royals hat aficionado, I'm really excited too because they're wearing these gold-plated Royals uniforms, which means they have to issue for sale to the fans these Royals gold-plated Royals hats, which I ordered one.
Of course, you have four. You need a new hat. You need yet another hat. What do you have? Eight hats from this season alone, from last season alone, the championship season.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, I mean, eight or however many they had, minus.
I think you have like a playoff hat. You have a championship series hat. You have a World Series hat. Yep. You have a world champion hat. That's like three or four right there.
Yep. And then I've got the
gold plated hat. Yep. Training hat.
Yep.
You know,
got
you collect,
two
guys,
of those.
Guys, she just collects foul balls and Royals hats.
Well, so what was cool is so they had the spring training hats with this crown on it. Well, then they also have the ones they wear on the field, which is that same hat with the crown, but it's got this highway sign with AZ on it representing, you know, the Arizona teams. And
sure.
So this hat was so very, very limited. And I saw pictures of it. And I was like, I wonder when this thing's going to come out. And I had I was online at like 2 a.m. one time and I go on the Royals site and it's there. I was like, oh, cool, there's that hat. So I order one. And come to find out, I was like one of like five people that actually got to order one of these things online because like everyone else just bought up like 20 of them at a time. And now they're on sale on eBay because I don't know how many of them they made, but it doesn't – not that many. So they're going for like $140, $160. So this hat that I had while I was in spring training, everybody – I was like, where'd you get I walked into the store where you buy merchandise, and the old men that worked there were like, where did you get that hat? Everyone's been asking about that hat. I was like, I just got lucky online and just happened to find it. And so, that's kind of like the flavor of the month. I think that's a good luck hat. I think it might be my hat of the season. I haven't decided yet. I usually pick one hat and wear it kind of throughout the season. I'm trending towards just the regular Royals postseason hat. It seems to be one I'm wearing more than some of the others. It's just the regular. It's the hat they wore during the Toronto and Houston series. But all that aside, I do have opening day tickets. I'm going to the Padres game down here, taking the wife.
Oh, great.
Going with the wife and Mark Cassidy of the Hillbenders. He's flying in. They're just finishing their tour, actually, the day before. So he's flying from South Carolina in to the Padres. We're going as Dodger fans. They're playing the Dodgers. It's going to be Kershaw starting. It's going to be incredible. And so got that all lined up. And that will actually be my first opening day. So this is – I have the beginnings of possibly the second – third most epic baseball season, depending on how it ends, is starting off already. I've gone to spring training, going to opening day, traveling to see the Royals twice, all by the end of April.
All right, well, I just got to tell you, as a returning champion, the season starts great, but I can tell you, I still remember 05, the Red Sox had won. They'd been epic, and come back from 03 and then come back for the win the first time in 86 years. But I'll tell you, I still remember losing to the White Sox in the playoffs the next season. So these things can go a little, you can get a little mad at the end. They don't end right.
Yeah, but then didn't you wait? What did you guys win in 09?
No, we won. So we won in 04, we won in 07, and
07.
We won in 13.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's perfect spacing. I mean, aside from the fact you guys have finished dead last the last two seasons.
I accept that. And I'm also, remember, in the 21st century, the Patriots have won four Super Bowls and gone to six.
Yeah,
the
we
Red
did
Sox
the count.
Won
yeah.
three World Series.
You've got,
the,
it's like, it's 12. Remember,
the Celtics have gone to 2-1-1. The Bruins have won one. And then, of course, my Syracuse Orange men 2003 national champs, and they are back suddenly in the Final Four. The team that wasn't even supposed to be in a bracket at all, my Syracuse Orange, formerly known as the Orange Men of Syracuse, and of all things, the Orange Women, who've never been to a women's Final Four in NCAA history. They both are in the Final Four, both Syracuse and Syracuse.
Are they the tangerines? Are they orange men?
They are not. They used to be the orange women, but now it's the Syracuse Orange and the Syracuse Orange. I guess it's the women's team. They're not the Lady Orange, but they. In fact, when I was flying home from Denver, I got to see on the plane, DirecTV. I got to see the women's team beat the Lady Volunteers to go to the Final Four, which was great. But then we were down. The men's were down. We were down a whole lot, and I actually had to get. They had to turn off. My flight had landed in LAX, and I was getting picked up by a friend. I had to get my bag, and by the time I got in my bag, I was like, you know, my friend asked me, "Hey, you taping the game?" I was like, "I was watching on the plane." He goes, "Well, do you want to know what happened?" I'm like, "Well, I know they're down." He goes, "No, not more than that. They're up because they went on an 18-2 run, and it's amazing. It's just amazing. It's an amazing thing." And I'll tell you another thing. I was so I'm wearing colors yesterday. I was at Ralph's. I was at a grocery store, and all of a sudden, a guy bagging my groceries, like, "Hey, you're a Syracuse fan?" And I was like, "Yeah, I went there." And the guy's trying to tell me how he's a North Carolina fan. I'm like, "Buddy, you're bagging my groceries. You're not a North Carolina fan."
You're like, "You're bagging my groceries. Zip it."
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's like, no. Here's the thing. It's like, there's a point where I just realize, it's like, look, guys. There's a few out there that root for your college team because you went to that college. You're a Kansas, or you're raised in that area and you grew up in it, right? You're Oklahoma's, you're Kansas.
That's me. I didn't go to KU, got brainwashed, now a KU basketball fan. But only KU basketball, so I'm like a third right. KU guy.
But what I don't want to hear about, and I mean this too, you know, I love Notre Dame too, you know what I mean? And I certainly
hate Notre Dame.
But you know, it's like, there's a lot of bandwagon. There's a lot of that Subway alumni, as they like to call it. It's like, hey, you just root for North Carolina, the Tar Heels, or you know, the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, as if they are a pro team. They're just a team you like. You like their colors. Your uncle, your dad liked them when you were a kid. You're not a
fan.
It's like, hey, man, I went to 4 years of Syracuse University. I went through epic snow. It snowed May 2nd. Fucking 1993, and I was graduating May 9th. There was snow on the ground when I graduated, and it was May, people. May. When I wear Syracuse colors, it's because I fucking earned them.
Not because you like. Not because you like their new jerseys.
Even if you went, I'll tell you this: if the guy did bag groceries, I mean, if the grocery bagger did go to North Carolina, is actually a Tar Heel and paid to go to UNC, I'm going to tell you this. It's a testament to how shitty that university is that your education got you a job bagging my groceries.
Yep.
So don't tell me about UNC Syracuse while I'm around.
Well, something about the bagging groceries. That's a hard, you know, earn $15 an hour. If you live in California, you can get bagging groceries. But I'm just saying, nothing against that job. But, you know, yeah, if you're gonna be bragging colleges, yeah, you know, maybe lay off a little, but good luck. And actually, I think you guys are going to win. I had this weird thing where in 2003, this is just me and my superstitions or whatever, but I, for some reason, the only thing I ever remembered from that Pardon the Interruption show with Wilbaum and Kornheiser, which has now been on the air for 15, 16 years or however long, but I remember them having Bo Boeheim on in 2003. Yep. He's talking about Carmelo Anthony. And this was when they had advanced to the Sweet 16. He's like, "I like our team. We're young and this and that." And, you know, so, and just so happened the other day, I'm flipping through and what do I catch?
Boeheim
on Pardon the Interruption. And it was like, it was this weird thing where I'm like, you know what? It's not like they, not only are they hot, but it's just sometimes, you know, the basketball gods, and that program has been through a lot in the last. I mean, they had to vacate some wins and scholarships and all that.
Well, here's the thing. Remember that Boeheim didn't coach 9 games of this season. So, in part, what I think is a question of, like, no, you don't know what. No one knew what Syracuse actually was as a team because half of the season, your head coach was suspended. I mean, it was self-imposed, but it's like he's not with the team. You have two or three freshmen who are playing valuable quality minutes on the squad. And so in the weird point where it's like, you know, if you're UNC or any of the teams that have played Syracuse in the tournament, it's not like you can go back to some game in January and scout it, because it doesn't matter. That's not even the Syracuse team you're facing isn't the team of 2 months ago. They've changed into something else.
They're at like mid-season form right now. You know, I don't know how far away from the program he was. Was it something like, oh, you just can't stand on the sideline, or was he completely removed from practice and all that stuff too? Do you know?
Yeah,
like the depths of it. Was he around practice, or was he completely gone, or was he just not at the games?
No, he's completely gone.
Oh, okay, yeah. So they're hitting like their mid-season stride right now.
Right.
Maybe,
absolutely.
Maybe some sort of blessing in disguise. Well. Guys, we got a couple great guests on this week. I want to lead with soccer. Super soccer segment.
It's a super
soccer segment.
By the way, when you talk, you're going to be talking probabilities in this segment, and just remember, that's how improbable Syracuse being in the Final Four is. And if I can end this segment on anything, choosing the house, oh my God, and the oh my God, choosing the house, oh my God. And that's a wrap up on the Syracuse segment right there.
Well, it's one of those things where Leicester City in England, they've got relegated, and we go into we have Super Soccer segment legend Mr. Nelson from the Comedy Go-Go podcast on, and we break down the tables, which mean like the top leagues, the bottom leagues, and the bottom teams from each league get moved down to the lower division, and the top teams from that division move up to the so this team like came up from a lower division and now is now on top of this division they just got moved into. They had incredibly long odds to win, and it's just so I had him come on, talk about that, and we had a great time. So you just want to go to that right now?
So yeah, let's do it.
With our long lost super soccer segment with Dave Nelson calling from the deep south of the western woods of Georgia.
Yes.
How are you? I brought you on. First of all, how are you doing?
I am doing incredibly well. So trying to survive this political season, as well as the reason you contacted me, I think this has probably been one of the most exciting English Premier League seasons I've watched since I've really been hooked on it. Oh, God. Really got hooked on it probably like 2008 when I was able to watch some games on Fox Soccer.
Yeah, the entire time I've known you, you've been hooked. So, I mean, that's at least 6 or 7 years right there.
Yeah, like since it's been readily available and not having to get up some ungodly time to go to a pub and drink in the morning. I prefer to do my drinking at home where it's a little bit safer and cheaper. But yeah, this has been a really exciting season. And I would say for people who are not necessarily like, you don't have a team or you're just getting into the English Premier League, this is probably like the most exciting, and it may be disappointed after this just because it's such a mix up at the top. I could think of like what the Major League Baseball, like Yankees or not, or it's like if you hate the Yankees and you see that they're just eating shit like they did last year, you're reveling in it this season in the English Premier League.
So what's happening right now in layman's terms, guys at home and gals? I'm gonna break it down here. I'm gonna put out my view of it and let me.
Yeah.
So first of all, let's bring up Leicester City, okay? And then I think explain is it called relegation? Is that what they call
relegation?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. What it is like within most everybody's leagues, minus the U.S., it's on a table system. You can either there's a top league. Like, there's so many different, like, I think England has the most professional leagues per capita of any other sports teams in the world. So there are different leagues. Like, the Premier League is the top, and the Championship is behind that. Then there's League One, then there's League Two, and so on, so on, so on. Then they get to non-leagues, which is, like,
similar
maybe like
to
like
a major league. Similar
and
to a major AAA, AA, single A, rookie, high A, low A, rookie league. There's like seven.
Right.
Yes. All right. So continue.
But you cannot, in professional baseball, if you suck, you cannot be, like the NFL, the Jaguars cannot get any lower than what they're at right now, like if there was the other division. So, like, if lower teams get relegated, you get, and then teams that do well in the lower division get pumped up. So, like, it's a very much reward system on doing well, and if you suck, you get punished for it by getting put down a league. So
if you're in the Premier League, you're playing like Manchester, United City, you know, Arsenal, you know, Chelsea. You're playing in these grand, huge venues. Then if you get bumped down, then you're traveling to like these mid-major cities that are like industrial factories and just, you know,
Birmingham. Probably New York, probably a couple leagues down, things like that. Yeah.
Okay. So there's a lot more at stake. And so at hand right now, we have Leicester City they haven't clinched it yet. They're 7, 8, 9 games away from the season ending. But right now they're in first place. And when the season started, they were 2,500 to 1 odds to win the league, and which they right now currently might do. Now, how did that happen? How does a 2,500, which they equated it, I saw it was like 4 16 seeds winning the tournament or something crazy, you know, something like that, like as far as compared to basketball. But how does a team like that come out of nowhere and then contend for the championship?
I think if you had followed last season, this is the beauty of the story, is they were a team that was going, like, looked like they were going to be relegated. Like, usually, rule, just how it goes, the norm is, if it's a team that's been promoted, it's a promotion. They got promoted from the league up. They were just kind of, you know, there's a bit of adjusting to it. The pace is faster, you know. Usually your players aren't quite as good or to the level of Premier League, so there's that adjustment factor. The bottom, they were at the relegation zone for up until maybe right up into the last couple months of the season, and they just went on a run. And you watched them go from like literally last place in the English Premier League all the way up into, you know, safe. You know, obviously not at the top, but obviously not in the worry where they were going to get relegated down.
And this is last season.
Last season, their coach gets fired because there's just a bit of a sex scandal because the players involving one of the coach's son, who's on the coaching staff, making released a video of some players in Thailand with some professional ladies, she'll say, making some derogatory, some would say, racial statements as it went on. And so he got fired because he showing he couldn't control the system, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
They bring in this one coach, the coach right now, used to be a coach for Chelsea, and when Abramovich came over, he fired that dude because he couldn't take him to that next level, you know, to the championship level, to Champions League, which is kind of like what every, you know, the top two teams play in the tournament for, like, you know, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich.
So the Champions League, listeners at home, so you have the English Premier League, and they take the top two teams, or is it the top three teams from every?
Top four teams within the English right now, but it depends on how many people you have get in play.
Right
now, the top four English teams make it to the Champions
The bigger
League
countries like
tournament.
Spain and France, probably Germany, those countries get four teams?
No, they're down to three.
Okay.
It depends on how many times your country or your division,
but,
you know, your league has won it.
But, yeah, so then you have the English, so this is the Premier League. And then you have the Champions League, which is outstanding, which takes the best teams from all the professional leagues in Europe. And this is Poland, Kazakhstan, Ukraine,
Russia.
I mean, Israel. I mean, every team is represented there. And so a crazy tournament. So now if they win, they're in the position to now get into that tournament next year.
Yeah, they will be, and I think they'll be seeded too. So it'll be interesting on that. Yeah. So they, the top four teams get into, and the number 14 has to go to playoff to get to the next, the knockout rounds. But yeah, they will. They, it looks like they will be in that tournament of tournaments, which is a good moneymaker for smaller teams like Leicester City, and it's good for the Premier League too.
Well, I think it's just good for soccer. I mean, one, it's just getting national coverage on Fox Sports 1 and your ESPNs and CBS Sports and online. You know, you read stories about it. But it for me, like you said, you kind of got hooked 8 years ago. It seems like right now I've enjoyed soccer, but I've never gone out of my way to really watch it. And not that I'm watching it now, but ESPN's done a good – they have this like a soccer daily or weekly thing that
reviews. Yeah.
That it's a great show for me. It just took a while to get over the accents, you know, the Scottish and the Irish, and very informative, and it's a good show. And they cycle through guests, and they cover, you know, all the leagues all over the world. So that's helped a little bit. And then I actually caught the round of 16 draw for the Champions League. There was the live draw. Yeah. It was like at, you know, 7 in the morning or like 8 o'clock in Spain or wherever. And so what they did is they just drew ping pong balls, and it was like,
watching the lottery.
Yeah, it was like Paris, you're playing Bayern Munich now, and then Real Madrid, you're going to play Manchester, and then, you know, the Russian team, you're going to play the Portuguese team, you know, so that was kind of cool. You had all the executives there, you know, and like, so I like that aspect of it, that they kind of just had this random kind of lottery NBA draft, you know, kind of thing going. For this massive tournament that everybody in Europe is following every day.
Yeah, I think it's become not just a joke, or, you know, like, I know Marino always gives me a bit of guff about being a soccer fan, and he doesn't get it. That's fair enough on that, but it is addictive. You're seeing the people really, like, starting to pay attention and question, is Klinsmann the person that's going to take the U.S. to where we expect? Oh, you know, because we dominate most sports, it seems. Like, are they going to be able to take us to the World Cup and take us to the promised land, at least in the top, you know, quarterfinals or even the semifinals within in the World Cup? So it's catching on finally, you know.
Yeah, and because it is catching on, there's now more pressure than ever, you know, with the United States soccer program, and which is a segue into a question I wanted to ask you is. Jurgen Klinsmann's job secure right now? I know they won 4-0 against was it Pan or Guatemala? Who was it that they lost at 2-0?
It was a home and home with Guatemala.
Right. I mean, and so I mean, is his job in jeopardy right now? I mean, I know that they won and they're now, you know, their chances to make the World Cup, but there was a, you know, it shouldn't come down to a game against Guatemala, should it?
Guatemala has never qualified for the World Cup. I think yeah, this is a make or break thing for Klinsmann, in my opinion, because I think he's claimed he wants to bring us to the, you know, whatever the next level. You hear that cliche statement all the time with sports. He wants to take us there, and the reason he was brought in is he's got this international experience. He's won a World Cup. He's been kind of a who's who amongst European players. So we've got all this knowledge, and there's an expectation he's going to be able to bring this, and he's the missing link to which we haven't had before with other coaches on the team and with the talent. I think what I hear a lot is if American is like, we are probably some of the most athletic people around. We have the talent. Like, if you took, like a LeBron James, if you were a soccer player, that dude would be a freaking monster. Kobe Bryant were a soccer player, would have been a monster. Like, if you take that type of talent and put it on a soccer team, I think we would be like an unstoppable. We would be a juggernaut in the world of soccer. And people are hoping Klinsmann's that person that kind of like popularize it and take us to that. I mean, maybe not win the World Cup, but get us into, like, you know, a semifinal or a quarterfinal. Not just well, we're happy we're here, because I think people are getting to it, and we want to win, and it's nice to be at the World Cup, but it's better to be in the knockout round.
Yeah, it's more fun. I mean, was it the eighth place finish? Was that in 2010?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was fantastic, you know. And so, just, okay, regardless of what he does, I think the MLS now, with their, it seems like they're expanding every year. I mean, I know that there's a team now in Orlando, a second team, I think, in New York, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Yes. You know, Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver. I'm trying to think. Did Dallas get a team? I know Houston has one.
No, Dallas has always had it. Actually, who's it? Own the Chiefs. Lamar Hunt, he used to own that when the Kempit Wizards, and they used to be the Dallas Fire or something like that.
I was going
to
say, yeah, Dallas Fire. Rung a bell.
Yeah, like Lamar Hunt used to be one of the original owners of when the MLS started, like 20 years ago, one of the people that supported it. So.
So Dallas is
one of your original teams. What's that?
So Dallas has always had a team. I was going to say, am I missing any other expansion teams or anything like that?
I thought Minneapolis maybe getting a team, and I know they're always looking at St. Louis because St. Louis is such a big soccer town.
Interesting. Yeah, so, I mean, just the popularity of that league, and I know people that go to the games and they have a good time, and they're always packed, and you know, they leave wanting to come back to the next one. And so I think kids, as they grow up in that environment and see that, you know, oh, I can do this professionally or hopefully make the United States men's team, which means I'll be, you know, a popular athlete in America. You know, it gives, whereas maybe when we were growing up, no one cared. You could have been the best soccer player in America and gotten to my high school,
like,
and no one would have cared.
If you played soccer, like, I'll use the Marine. What are you, queer? Play
yeah, you can't even use your hands. What the hell is that all about?
But I think the reason why it increased, and then just real quickly, the increase the popularity of it, is they made like I know LA is getting another team again, and there's some like celebrities, big names investing in those teams, and they're building soccer specific stadiums. Like I don't know if you were in Kansas City back when the Wizards played at Arrowhead Stadium.
I never went to a game there.
It was like if you ever watch like those like high school state championships, and they're playing in they're playing in the Incredodome, and it's like, you know, it's like a single A high school football teams playing each other in the big city thing, and there's like, you know, maybe 100 people there to support that from both teams, and you're just like, gee, it looks so freaking empty.
Yeah, there's
but now like Kansas City's got a great facility. You look on DC's talking about building its own facility. They have been for years, but like LA has got a facility, New York's got a facility. It's building soccer specific facilities so it doesn't look so cavernous. And they're really, I know in Kansas City specifically from experience talking to when they're building, they're really concerned about the fan experience. Anywhere if you're in Kansas City, go to a game. I want to say Sporting Park. It's changed its name 500
yeah,
times.
Yeah, Lance Armstrong, Livestrong Park. Is what it's for.
Yeah.
It'll forever be Livestrong Park in my mind. And that's not just in Kansas City. If you're in Columbus, Ohio, they got great fans there. They got great fans in Seattle. Enormous, huge fans in Portland and in Vancouver. I mean, any of these cities, if you're traveling for business, just poke around on the internet and see if there's a game, because they play, you know, I think it's Wednesdays and Saturdays primarily,
I think,
is their schedule. But it's definitely worth checking out, and it's a good time, and there's no shortage of beer and local craft beer and, like, food cart, good food, tons of grilled cheese sandwiches. It's a good experience.
I mean, I've gone to a couple Orlando games, and it is, like, a good experience. I mean, they really work hard at making the fan experience fun. I mean, go around, and they're building their own stadium in Orlando. So, and I know Atlanta's going to get the team, too, so it's going to be a decision, which – how much traffic, do I know if I have the Disney World traffic, or do I know if I just the Atlantic traffic in general to go to a game, so.
Wow, they're going to try in Atlanta? Don't they know that Atlanta is the worst sports town in America?
Well, it's the guy that owns the Falcons is going to.
The Home Depot guy?
Yeah.
What are they going to be, the Builders? Like the Atlanta Builders?
I have no clue, but I think they're going to be playing in the new stadium where the Falcons' new stadium is, too, so that'll be interesting. I think they're trying to emulate what's happening.
Directly
trying to emulate what's happening in Seattle, which I don't know if that'll happen.
Well, I don't think they need in Seattle. I think they sell out at wherever the Falcons, whatever that stadium's called. At least I've seen pictures of packed stadiums there for soccer. But one thing that also helps is these aging, you know, international stars that are now making their way over to America to kind of play out the last two or three years of their career.
But I think you're getting getting, like, one of the comments I heard is, like, you get these agent guys over here, and they think it's going to be, you know, it's a joke, I'm coming day. But they're kind of learning it's not such a pushover maybe it was, like, 10, 15 years ago. That it's a fast-paced game, and it's really super physical. So it's not just the chance to go to Florida.
Yeah, live it up in the humid Orlando. That would be the glorious Everglades down there. Well, how is the Comedy of Go-Go?
Comedy of Go-Go, I've changed formats a little bit. I probably need to get you back on there, but I'm kind of on this whole quest of, like, why do I do stand-up comedy? If I've been doing it, and you've known, I think you probably noticed that I almost pretty darn close started out doing stand-up, and just in this whole living in this kind of void of Valdosta, Georgia. What is my end game? Because I'm not in Atlanta. I mean, I'm 3 hours from Atlanta. I'm not near New York or L.A. or even, you know, like New Orleans scene's really kind of blown up right now near any of those kind of places. So what? Why am I doing this? What is the reason I'm doing this? And just kind of like each week I'm like, well, I did this, kind of enjoyed it, and just questioning the whole point. And then I think the point is, like, I decide whether I still want to do stand-up come the end of the year, which will probably, you know, be December 31st, because I started this out, my first episode, January 2016.
Nice, nice. And so, I mean, you still got past episodes up we can listen to?
What's that again?
You still have episodes up on iTunes under Comedy of Go-Go, right?
Yeah, I'm up to, like, I think I just plopped out episode 250-something.
Yeah, it's a great show, guys. Check it out. I mean, Dave has on all sorts of comedians from all over the country that he's met over the years, you know, worked with, performed with, you know, met at shows. It's I've been on a few times. I know Eric's been on. It's a great show, so definitely check it out. It's just Comedy of Go-Go.
Can I plug? I got a tour going on. This is, like, the emphasis of it is, like, I'm going on tour.
Let's hear it. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm doing it. It's a whole May Southern sweep, and I'm featuring for my good friend Christine Levine from Portlandia. She's all part of the Doug Stanhope Unbookables crowd and all that, if you're familiar with that crew. We're doing Fort Lauderdale, Pensacola, Mobile, Lafayette, Baton Rouge, Memphis, Nashville, Montgomery, Alabama, Huntsville, Alabama, and Knoxville, Tennessee. So we're all doing that, like, starting on May 14th, and then ended up on May 25th.
Nice. 10 shows, 11 days. It sounds like. Where can the listener find out more on this?
Just go to check me out. Follow me on Twitter, because I'll pop something up on Comedy on @Hey_Snowflake. My Twitter. Look for Comedy of Go-Go.
That's right.
On
you got
Facebook.
Snowflake.
And I think. The rumor is Stanhope's going to help promote this, too, because I think the Andy Andrus and all those guys were just wound down. So we're going to get a little bit of help from Doug Stanhope on promoting this.
@Hey_Snowflake. @Hey_Snowflake. Information will be coming out soon. That's awesome, man. Enjoy that. I know you're ready to get out there, spread the wings, travel. Plus, it's always fun visiting different cities and then being able to leave the next day. You're like, okay.
I'm looking forward to some of the cities. I know Huntsville, Alabama has a big NASA thing, so I'm going to go check that out, because we got a day in between Knoxville and Huntsville. So I'm going to do a little bit of space nerding right there.
Oh, well, definitely. You got to go. You got to take advantage of the sights while you can. You can't just drive through the town and not go visit something that you care about.
No.
That's the whole point of doing comedy, so you can just happen and stumble into towns and all of a sudden be like, oh, I didn't know there's a baseball museum here, or I didn't know there's a NASA museum here. Perfect.
No, exactly.
Bonus.
Memphis, go check out all that shit there, too. So, but, hey, thank you for having me on, John.
Hey,
it's been too long.
Hey, I appreciate the time, and I'll probably have you back, because I definitely want to find out how Leicester City does. I'm hoping they win. I think it'll be great. I mean, 2,500-1 odds. I mean, not bad. Not bad.
My team is going to get relegated to Aston Villa, but it's good to see Chelsea eat dong this year. Seeing, like, the small guys, and even if Leicester City doesn't win, and I'm hoping maybe Tottenham does, it's either of those two teams win, it's going to be it's been a great year watching EPL. It's been exciting.
Yeah, it seems like it's just like it's anyone's game, and that's what keeps any league competitive and fun to watch from year to year. So, but hey, stay busy and drive safe. Listeners, if you're in the South, go check it out because the comedy's coming to one of 10 cities all over Florida, Mississippi, Georgia, Tennessee, and I'm sure Louisiana. And then, well, just go look for yourself. Dave, great talking to you.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Bye. Dave Nelson with a super soccer. And
you're talking about those crazy probabilities. By the way, just so you know, there's a Syracuse fan who put a $100 bet down on the Syracuse Orange to win the Final Four, and their odds were so long, Chief, that ticket, should Syracuse win, that bet is worth $100,000. I think it's $100,100.
That's a great bet, right? I mean, you can't. Anytime you can earn a year's worth of living, in a day on it. I mean, I can't even imagine.
I remember being in Vegas. The first time I ever did that was actually the year I bet on the Patriots to win the Super Bowl, and it was the year that they actually lost to the Packers. So that whole season, I was like betting in Vegas. It was very exciting, and I came so close. It was like a $2 bet that I would have won like $375 on, or $325. It would have been great.
Well, that was my thing because I had the Royals ticket, the winning ticket this past year, and it was like I almost wanted to frame it. And it was I put the bet down. I forget. I think it was like 4 or 5 to 1. It was like a $30 bet. I think it cashed in for like 180 or something. But just because I got the ticket because the Royals odds were so good. I'm like, I want to document right now that Vegas says – right now, the Royals have a 4 or 5 to 1 chance of winning the World Series in our eyes. I'm like, that is awesome. And so it was, for me, it was more about that. So I was like, I almost wanted to frame the ticket. And then I'm like, nah, it's worth $150. I think I'm going to go cash that in next time I'm there.
The sweetest $150 ever.
But even if it's $20 or $30, it's fun to put futures down, you know, on teams. Because then you're like, oh, yeah, by the way, I put this bet down in September. The hardest part is not losing the ticket. That's the hard part. You got to put that thing somewhere.
It's true.
That you know that you only go to every 6 months, whether it's like a tax thing or like somewhere where you put your taxes or just, you know, where you put like your dentist, you know, phone number or whatever it is. But, yeah.
Don't put it in the back of your wallet, guys, because that ticket stub will rub off, and all of a sudden you'll just have an invalid. You'll just have a blank piece of paper from a casino.
Yeah, you're like, here's a picture.
All the ink will rub off.
Yeah, this is what it used to look like 8 months ago. I promise. But I'll do the same next time I'm in Vegas. I'm going to put another $30 down on the Royals, and hopefully.
Well, let me ask you this: if you're a betting man, what do you put on? What do you put on Panda Sandoval actually playing third base for the Red Sox this season? He's been bumped from the starting lineup.
I here's what I think. It's tough. Okay, so you got this David Ortiz going away party. So I think here's what's gonna happen is they'll cycle these three guys around. What, and I don't remember what the third baseman's name is that they're starting off the top of my head, but.
Travis Shaw.
What is it?
Travis Shaw.
Yeah, so they'll put Shaw in there, and they'll see if he comes out hot, then that's his spot right there. So once he starts kind of, if he struggles at all, they can put Panda in. Obviously, it's a weight thing. Like, yeah, no, dude, you can't come into camp 30 pounds fatter than you were already fat and then expect to just kind of play. And so once he loses about 20 pounds, I think they'll cycle him in at third, maybe even give him back the starting role at some point. But then also look for Ortiz as they go on the road to do his little thanks for the, you know, the honorary chair, you know, from Baltimore Orioles fans and the honorary bat, you know, from, you know, Marlins fan or whatever. He'll play that first, maybe second game. And then by the third game, they'll just plug Panda in for DH or maybe pull Ortiz halfway through the game. So they're going to get their $18 million worth, you know, out of them. But I just don't think it's going to be full-time at third base, realistically. Yeah, but a lot of it just depends on how he plays, Shaw.
Right.
But either way, it doesn't matter because you guys got money and it's not a big deal. You're like, we can bury $18 million and no one would even notice.
Well, that is true. We now have David Price. You know, Red Sox Nation is back on the warpath. I mean, but you know what? Let's just get to it. You have a bunch of royal stuff to get to. You're very excited. I'm still stuck in the Final Four because Syracuse, unfortunately, your Kansas got ousted. That broke my dad's bracket, which is upsetting. But you do what you can do.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know,
it's Kansas.
A rematch this coming weekend. Is a rematch of Jimmy Boeheim 2003 against old Kansas coach Roy Williams, the last game he ever coached for Kansas Jayhawks. Hakeem Warrick, these things mean something to you people and to me.
That's what it was. That's what the old throwback, because I'm like, you know what? It's exactly. I'm like, Syracuse.
So while I'm still there and ruminating about all my Final Four Syracuse and Roy Williams stuff, why don't we just go?
Yeah,
we
got Chris Kamler coming up, the author of The Silence of Sirius, The Season of Sung Woo. Great book. But got Kansas fans, remember, Bill Self, Coach of the Year, 2-time. So we got that. And then we always have the back to 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 back Big 12 champions.
Okay,
we always have that. So you know what? Who cares about losing in the second round of the tournament every year, Jayhawks fans? That's something we've grown accustomed to. And if we win a world, championship every 25 years, that's great.
So they can play Villanova to reunite the Big East. We are trying to put the Big East back together in the championship game.
With yeah.
That
All right.
Said,
yeah.
Let's Chris. Get the
baseball. Yep. Baseball with the Royals. If you want to be.
Can't take out the catcher because Posey was in the wrong position, and they're going to change all the rules.
Yeah.
Can't pitch inside anymore. I'd like to knock some of these on their ass and see how they and face pitchers in the old days.
Yeah.
Throwing bats in the dugout. Batista's a disgrace to the game. He's embarrassing to all the Latin players that ever played before him.
Yeah, right.
Throwing his bat and acting like a f***ing fool, like all those guys in Toronto.
Yeah.
Cespedes, same thing. Ryan Braun is a f***ing steroid user. He gets a standing ovation.
Yeah.
Opening day in Milwaukee. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
How do you explain that to your kid?
Yeah.
All of a sudden he's a f***ing hero after throwing guys under the bus, getting people fired, and lying.
Yeah.
Through his f***ing teeth?
Yeah.
F*** these people. Baseball with the Royals. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. If you want to see the best of the big leagues, you want to be loving the day. Come share the excitement of the stolen bases and double plays. This is where it happens. Come on and see. For the very best.
All right, we are back on Sportsaholics with the author of The Silence, The Series, The Season of Sung Woo, which you can find now on Amazon. Chris Kamler, welcome back to Sportsaholics. How are you doing? How was your off season?
My off season was great, man. Happy New Year to you and your listeners, and here we are, back at it again, right?
Absolutely, and pardon me, I'm getting over being, I caught the... I don't know if the flu bugs made it out to Kansas, but it's devastated people out here on the coast. So I'm just now getting over that. So aside from that, everything's great out here. I just wanted to get you back on the show and get some Royals insight. Anything excite you this spring training that you've seen so far?
Well, I'll tell you, it's been a relatively uneventful spring training for me, I guess, and maybe that's still because, you know, we're all pretty much hungover from October and November and the parade and all that good stuff. But I mean, you're dealing basically with damn near the exact same team that we left
at the parade, you know, with maybe a couple of exceptions. You got Joaquin Soria, which is nice to see, you know, but gosh, it's around the outfield, around the infield. We re-signed Alex Gordon. He was our big free agent pickup, and he was a guy we're already familiar with. So, you know, not a lot of surprises other than the fact that just they're back, and they all seem to be having fun. They all seem to be taking it in stride and, you know, not super cocky, which you'd almost look for. But, you know, I don't think they played particularly well in the spring, just from what I saw, but that's irrelevant.
Situational.
They won the Cactus League. Yeah, exactly.
You know, and for you listeners, like when you look at the record and they're like, I don't know, I think it's like 5 or 6 games under 500 or what, you know, whatever the record is, 10 and 15, something like that. You got to understand, like, there's certain situations where there'll be, like, guys on second and third or, like, first and second, and they're just like, you know what? Let's just have him throw, like, his sinker ball and try to get a double play until it happens. You know, and they just try to get him and put him in situation. Or they're like, you know what? Let's work on your curve right here. You might give up a home run. That's fine. And when the coaching staff says that, you know, to the pitcher, they're like, all right, fine. You know, this is my worst pitch, but I'm going to throw it 30 times today and see what happens.
Yeah, we had a chance to go to a couple of the spring training games in San Antonio, Texas.
Oh.
And they were playing playing exhibition games at the Alamo Dome. And they lost both games, but they lost both games late. And you were also dealing with a right field that was about, I could probably throw a baseball and throw it over the wall in right field. So, you know, spring training is irrelevant in most respects. What you just want to do is make sure that guys start to get their timing back and that nobody gets hurt. Now, I will say that if you followed any stories about Wade Davis this spring, I can best encapsulate it by this story from yesterday. So Ian Kennedy, who is our number two starter, we picked him up on free agency this year. He had a little bit of tightness in his leg yesterday, and this was like in the second or third inning. So they, as a precaution, they took him out of the game. It doesn't sound like it was anything other than maybe just a little bit of a cramp.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's
and
right.
They asked, they were like, well, we probably need to get somebody up in the bullpen to come in and relieve him because he's injured. And, you know, you get all the time that you need to get warmed up. Well, Wade Davis just says, screw it. And he just walked out on the mound. And he throws a 9-pitch inning. Wade Davis continues to be one of the most not give a crap players in the world and one of the most dominant. This guy, so our back end of the bullpen last year was Herrera,
HDH,
Davis, yeah, Herrera, Davis, and Greg Holland. Now, Greg Holland is out all year with season-ending elbow surgery.
Is he with the Rangers? Did the Rangers pick him up?
I think they did. I think they did, and he'll be out all year. So
yeah,
really,
yeah.
Just picking up a guy just in case, you know, he turns into something. My guess is I'd always bet on Greg Holland. But so now the back end of our bullpen is Joaquin Soria, Kelvin Herrera, and Wade Davis in some sequence that is yet to be determined. That three, the back end three, has a combined ERA in the spring of under 1. So that right there tells me everything you need to know about the spring.
And let me add this in. When I was at a Giants game, Soria got shelled. So I think I probably witnessed that one ERA in one inning. Because I think he gave up 3. I mean, there was a shot that I think it was Crawford hit that just – it landed on top of the beer tarp in right field is how big of a bomb it was. But is Soria a lock? Or what about Hochever? I mean, is he going to be like the 2-3-4 inning guys, kind of what they have more envisioned with Hoch?
Yeah, I think Hochever and Duffy will be some combination of your 4-5-6, 6-7-8 guys, you know, long relief, get into a pickle with you know, you're playing lefty righty type things, maybe in the 6th or 7th inning. Maybe one of the back three guys that pitched 2 days in a row, you might have to use.
Okay.
You probably use Hochever in that respect. Hochaver was he was hella good down the stretch last year.
Yeah,
out of the
he's much better out of the pen.
I think they'll just see how Soria starts out and then maybe use him and Hochaver in a similar role.
Okay, now let me throw this out here. Okay, I've heard Dayton Moore say we love Duffy. We love what he do, and then Joe will ask him, or Joel will ask him, does he want to be a starter or relief pitcher? And Dayton Moore will say, we like what he can potentially do as a starter. Right now he's in the bullpen, and then he'll talk about being a starter again, him being a starter. Now if you ask Duffy will say, I love the bullpen, I don't want to be a starter. Now is that going to cause conflict? At some point, is Duffy going to be in a Royals uniform by the end of the year? Because it kind of sounds like he doesn't really want to play the role that the Royals want him to, which should be a 4 or 5 starter, a lefty like that with the kind of, if he could just get his, mental game together a little bit. And, he did have some injuries and he was out, I believe, the 2013 season. So he's had some physical setbacks as well. But is the fact that he's so comfortable in the bullpen and is so against, it sounds like, pitching in the rotation, is that going to be a problem for the Royals?
Maybe a nice problem to have. You've got a guy, if he had shown any level of success as a starter, and I'm talking a long starter, Danny Duffy's problem was that he would pitch a really good first, second, and third inning, and then he'd give up 6 in the fourth.
That second time around,
as a starter, that'd be a nice problem. But
okay.
He's a bullpen guy. The only reason Dayton Moore says that is from a financial standpoint. You're paying him like a starter,
okay?
But you're not going to be able to trade him like a starter. You're not going to be able to trade that salary like a starter. So you leverage what you have at this point in time, and you have a really good 2-inning guy. Or a guy that can come in against lefties or a spot guy. I think they would rather probably call up a Kyle Zimmer if you lost a 4 or 5 guy in the rotation than send Duffy down to Omaha and stretch him out for a month and then pull him back up.
And Zimmer, I believe, is the number 2 prospect in the farm system behind Mondesi right now. So they're expecting big things out of him eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've still got Chris Medlin and Chris Young as the 4 and the 5.
Yeah, and
those guys are great.
Guys,
you're going to get what you get. Maybe Medlin, is good for a month and then falls off. Maybe Chris Young decides that he really is 210 years old and
just finally hangs it up.
It's always your 4 and 5 starters are somewhat interchangeable, so maybe you get a spot start out of Duffy there. But, no, I think Danny Duffy's a reliever. He's a bullpen guy, and he's going to be at least the foreseeable future. Maybe next year they'll try to crank up the thing again. But I think he's just proven time. This is the 4th or 5th time they've tried to find a role for him. He's comfortable in the bullpen, leaving the bullpen.
Well, I've just been so immersed with the Royals the past few months, so I'm just going to kind of we're nitpicking about our 7-8 pitching guy right now, and I'm going to go even deeper with this one. I don't know if you caught the last 2 innings of the game, the blowout the other night. When Huff was pitching, left-handed guy we picked up from the Dodgers, he looked very, very, very impressive. And almost like you're watching what you had hoped maybe Danny Duffy would be. Now, Huff has been a fringe pitcher. The Dodgers tried to get him in the starting rotation last year. That did not work. So he's kind of in that same boat where he hasn't really figured it out. Now, I don't know if he's going to be a free agent if he doesn't make the team or if he will make the team. But again, now we're talking about a 10-11th pitcher here in Huff. But even there, I think there's some quality if they can keep him around. And, I like what I saw.
There's a guy here in Kansas City on the radio that has said for years, and he said it back when the Royals were bad, he said the position you want to get to as a fan is where you're talking about the 24th guy on the roster. Should Terrence Gore be on the roster or not? Here's stuff like that. Those are great arguments to have when we're dealing with the fifth guy in the bullpen.
It's great. I love it.
Isn't it great?
Oh, it's wonderful. Which, okay, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the blessing of Jerod Dyson getting injured. Because now we all had the pleasure of watching Fuentes all spring training. I think he ended up leading the team in RBIs, or is currently leading the team in RBIs through spring training. Our number 8 overall prospect in the Royals farm system, and now it looks like he's going to end up making the opening day roster. Have they announced that officially yet, or is that still a few days away?
I think they're going to announce it tomorrow, but all signs point to him. It's either going to be him or Whit Merrifield, which is an equally good story. It's somebody every year. It's Paulo Orlando. It's Johnny Giovitella. It's these guys that just have a tremendous spring training, and you're literally forced to put them on the 25. And it's a really cool thing. There's usually one guy a year that it happens to, and it's so fun to see that person on opening day and the smile on their face and everything. How cool would it be if you're Raymond Fuentes and,
oh man,
you know, your very first game is on Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN,
right, starting right field
championship banner, man? How cool is that?
Well, you know what? If he batted .350 or he's batting .348 right now. You know, and it's just like the other thing that separates him from Paulo Orlando is that I think he's only 24 years old right now. You know, he's not 29, and he hasn't been in the minor leagues, you know, for 9-10 years like Paulo had. But I feel like there's still an upside to this guy, you know. And so let him come to the show, and maybe he's one of these rare guys that can take it, you know, to the next level when given the opportunity to play against the next level.
Totally agree, and you're gonna get hit and miss on that. You know, what happened to Orlando last year? Orlando hit a grand slam the first week of the season, and then he started to dovetail. But there's other guys that take that moment, and do the most with it. Christian Colon is a guy that hasn't really done much at the major league level, but he has two of the biggest hits in franchise history. So, you know, just finding your moment and finding your zone for a chance to do it is pretty huge.
Now, are they going to keep – can Merrifield, can he play second? I mean, is Colon even going to be on the roster when we start the season? Is he going to be there to collect his ring? Because, I mean, this is one of the most horrific spring training in possibly baseball history for someone to actually make the team with the numbers that they produced over a month. I mean, he's batting, I think, .140 or so. You know, it's like well below the Mendoza line.
He didn't get his first hit until like the third week of spring training, and he has not looked very good, that is for sure. I don't know. I mean, that's a big question. Yes, Merrifield can play any position on the infield, so that's a benefit. But so can Colon,
right.
You know, as a utility guy. So, I think that's a good question to have. Are you going to take two rookies and, you know, leave a Colon who, I mean, is a kind of a perennial, you know, one of those four A guys?
Yeah, exactly.
And see what you're going to do. So, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe they bring him up, put him on the roster for opening day, see how he hits the first couple of weeks, you know, with limited at bats, and then send him down. And I think if they do that, you'll probably never see him again.
Well, and then on the other side, which would be horrible. Love the guy. We drafted him first round pick, I think, in 2010.
Yeah.
But Omar didn't have a bad spring training. People, Royals fans, you got to remember Omar Infante. Look at his career stats. He's not a magician. He's not this amazing offensive player before he showed up to Kansas City. He's actually almost exactly what he was in Detroit, you know, if not slightly better in some categories when healthy in Kansas City. So I think, you know what, with all the negative publicity, I'll put it, and being the least favorite player on the Royals for most of the people I know, I think he's got a lot to prove. And so maybe bearing all that extra pressure, you know, he can somehow put together a magical season.
Yeah, I agree on Infante. I've never been quite as down on him. Sometimes you just have to realize what you have.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've got Eric Hosmer to one side and you've got Mike Moustakas to the other side, maybe you can get away with a weak-hitting second baseman that's hitting, you know, around .250, .260, that flashes some tremendous defense. You know, you can work around that. You can bury him in the seven or eight hole, and you know, at least you know what you have. You know, a lot of people said that about Billy Butler. You know, here's Billy Butler, who's never going to hit for power, never going to hit home runs, but he jacks, you know, 50, 60, 70 doubles a year.
Right,
you know, and so you just got to kind of take what you get and work around it.
And the Royals are the best team at doing that. And listeners, guys, go to The Silence, the Series, The Season of Sung Woo. It's a book Chris authored last year documenting Sung Woo Lee's arrival in Kansas City, the number one Royal superfan from South Korea. Came over. Chris ushered him around Kansas City, around Kauffman, and just an incredible story. So pick up your copy, please. You can go to Amazon, or actually better yet, go to pinetarpress.com. And then always follow Chris on Twitter at the fake Ned. Chris, appreciate your time. I know you got to go. You got to go get out on the baseball field yourself, which I'm kind of envious. I'm kind of jealous. I wish I had a glove to put on right now and go play catch but enjoy that. And we'll have you back on here in a couple weeks. And hopefully we'll be talking about a fast Royal start out to, like, let's say a 15-8 record. I'd be happy with that start.
I wouldn't mind that at all. I think it all starts on Sunday night, man. If we can kind of announce to the country that the Royals were no fluke the last couple of years, and that we're not going to, you know, take a bunch of crap off the Mets. Oh man, how fun can this season be? There's no reason. I mean, it's been the Oakland A's since 1988 through 90 that went to three World Series in a row. There's no reason we can't do it again. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, no, it's the pieces are all there, and you know, I've got my plane ticket already booked for Seattle to go up there. I've got my Angels tickets. I'm gonna go to, I think, 5 Royals games in a week here coming up at the end of the month.
Oh, and
so
awesome.
It's gonna be, you know, when they travel, the crowd's gonna be there. But I mean, I think this is gonna finally be the season. I saw they moved Buck night to Thursday, so that's gonna pump up Thursday night, because mm-hmm. Friday night's already gonna be sold out. So I think this might finally. I would love it to get to the Jacobs Field of the mid 90s. And for you youngsters out there, go look up the Cleveland Indians, like 1995, coming back from the strike. You're looking at Jim Thome, Manny Ramirez, kind of rookie year. Great teams and perennially in the playoffs at postseason. But I believe they had like 4 or 5 straight seasons of sellouts. So I think this could finally be the year where we can get the Tuesday night, Wednesday night sellouts. And then that's when it just completely takes over the city. And it's the place you want to be and everyone wants to go. And, you know, whether your 8-year-old son and daughter want to go, or your cousin or your grandpa, but people know they're going to go have a good time, and there's a, you know, 3.5 out of 5 chance that they're going to win the game.
I'll tell you, and you know, for folks that are, you know, maybe not in a Kansas City area or something, but are within a drive to Major League Baseball, it's just the best damn fun that you can have. So it's anytime you can go see a game, even if it's the Reds Pirates on a Wednesday night, man, you gotta go do it.
Yeah, baseball is back and it's great. Flowers are blooming everywhere. Mostly everywhere. Probably not yet in Chicago and Minneapolis, but soon enough, guys, up there, they'll be coming. But again, listeners, pinetarpress.com. Go support a great author. Pick up a copy of his book. And hit him up on Twitter at the fake Ned, FAKENED. Chris, thanks for your time, man. We'll talk soon, okay?
Thanks, John, anytime, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right, be good. Shoot it out over dope like in Blue Hill. Blue Benz on 4 big blue wheels. Hood rats, blue braids, blue nails. With good cat and ass like a blue whale. Spray paint got the hood full of blue walls. Bleed blue blood and got blue balls. It's a beautiful day, it's a beautiful world. I'm in a beautiful car and got a beautiful girl. It's a beautiful night, my chain plays blue in the light. I'm beautiful when I cry, I'm beautiful when I shine. And there he was, the legend, Chris Camlin. Thank you, buddy. Thanks for coming on. And like I said, when the Royals start off 15, 16, 17, and 8, we'll be back on talking about, you know, what's going on with the Royals, and everyone's going to be worried about those 8 losses. But
Royal. All right, well, Caesar, let me talk about something that's going to happen 6 months from now, all right? Because 6 months from now, you know, as we record this, it is technically, while we record this, people who are listening at home, we recorded this on April Fool's Day, April 1st, 2016. Now, in 6 months from now, we'll be in October 1st, 2016, and we're going to know a lot more of what happened with this baseball season. We will know Red Sox, Royals, Cubs. We'll know who won, who lost, who's going to be in the playoffs, what the storylines are. That's 6 months in the future. But let me say this. As it's April Fool's Day as we record this, I believe that April Fool's Day is hacked, and I want to push all our listeners out there to start celebrating a brand new holiday that the Sportsaholics is at the forefront of pushing, October Fool's Day. That's right.
Okay.
People, 6 months from now, I want everyone to surprise the shit out of your friends and neighbors and family by pulling a prank 6 months from now. And when they say, why the fuck did you do that? You're like, October Fool's Day. That's right. No one will see it coming. It's 6 months from now. If you really like April Fool's Day, you'll love October Fool's Day. So let's get that started, guys. Hashtag October Fool's Day.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if we got International Pancake Day and International, like, Bread Day or whatever, I mean, or No Bread Day or whatever day. Yeah, I think I like October Fool's Day. I think that does it.
Right. As far as I'm concerned, every month should have a Fool's Day.
Well,
like June 15th.
Here's my thing is... Yeah, October 1st. I like October Fool's Day, but my thing is people may be expecting an October Fool's Day on the 1st, so why not make it October 17th?
Because now you're complicated. I'm doing 6 months. It's 6 months. It's clean. October
okay,
1st,
okay, fine.
Fool's Day.
Okay,
you right. also don't want to get too close to Halloween. You don't want to confuse the kids.
Yep, okay, I got you. I like it. Okay, we'll keep it on the 1st then.
October Fool's Day.
Well, Eric, it's great to get back on. And again, listeners, sorry about the month-long delay. We'll be back next week. We're going to start firing these things off. I was sick. I had the flu. I lost my voice for 3 weeks. That was part of it.
That's right.
It's like 98% back. It's not cracking anymore, but it was frustrating. I went and watched Ari Set at the La Jolla Comedy Store a couple weeks ago. Hadn't seen him in a while. Just trying to catch up, talk to him. I mean, it was horrible. I mean, Moses was there. Like, couldn't, after like two sentences, I'm like, you know what? This is like painful. I can't even talk. And very frustrating.
Well, guys, if you're talking about Irish Fear, remember, you can check out That Is Not Happening on, Comedy Central. And by the way,
great
if
show.
You go and you watch Ari, if you go online, you can check out a story about Irish Fear and our good friend Matt Edgar doing mushrooms. And if you listen closely, you'll hear your good friend Eric Marino is part of that story. And if you listen closely, you'll hear all about it. So you can listen to that. Plus, we want to plug...
I think that's next week,
right?
The
Roast Battle has just been sold to Comedy Central. Check out their podcast, Verbal Violence. And what else do we have? Oh, you can find me. I was recently asked to be on Simply Dawn, the podcast with Dawn Barris. So check out the Simply Dawn podcast, which was lovely to be a part of. Thank you, Dawn. Guys, you can check me out when in Hollywood. Come to the Show Up, Go Up, Sunday nights, 11 to 1, except the last Sundays of every month. You can follow me on Twitter at OthatMarino, and I'll be somewhere in Atlantic City, I believe, at the end of the month, opening for future Ghostbuster, Leslie Joe.
Now,
those are my plugs.
Yeah, but you got to tweet. Will you tweet out the date? Will you do that?
I will tweet. If I ever tweet again, I will tweet out the date, yes.
There's no reason for anyone to follow you if you don't ever tweet. I don't know.
I know it's hard. It's hard for me to tweet. I feel it's a personal thing where, I've been robbed of all social media by a cheating ex-girlfriend. So
I don't know. I just at this point, like, and look, if I'm trying to troll you online, you never read it. It's like really hard to do that. You can't. There's no point in it. You know what I mean? If you're not seeing any of the things I'm saying, you know.
Right. It is hard to troll me.
Yeah. So. But yeah. Also, follow us at Sportsaholics. Also, John, J-O-N, is here.com. Like I said, Midwest people, I'm going to be there. State of Washington this weekend. So by the time you're listening to this, we'll probably be gone. But if you're in the state of Washington, this first weekend of April coming up, I'm going to be in Eastern and Western Washington. Also, Midwest in May. So that's a little ways off. But John is J-O-N is here.com. But guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word. And stay obsessed.
All right, here he goes. That's episode 101.
Over.
Stay obsessed.
that money. Big accounts that spend that bread. Cash out on your necklaces. 14 karat bracelet. Double double with the lean. High tech with the cream. Soda as I whip the YOLO. Lambo red Coca Cola. My bros, Colton knows the rotten on the speedboat. You sucking, licking deep throat. Rey Mysterio. When I'm jumping off the top rope. Banana clip with the scope. Wearing all white like I'm the motherfucking boat. I'm on the Lamborghini high, glide through the sky, hell. Yeah, me vision got us rich, catch a nigga flying by the Lambo. Tipping the Henny got me gone, now I'm getting in my zone, ew. RP to my nigga, the gallon going to my dome, ew. This how I feel to be rich, fucking bitches in the mix, yeah. Where the Dickies is at, yeah, McGinney with the shits, yeah. Little new part lit, young love with the shits, yeah. I ain't with the game, bitch, she blowin' my cartridge, yeah. Listen, why I'm always chilly. Can't believe a nigga made a couple milli. About to cop the house way up in the hilly with a bad bitch in the Bentley. Wood grain with the roof gone. Make a bitch fold like a futon. Getting bread like a crouton. Tell me what the fuck is you want?
Lamborghini hot.
Got it for the dope bitch, probably good.
Don't stop, 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 don